And the last one before the intermission is Natalie Vachon. And Natalie Vachon is a painter, writer, storyteller, and performer. She's talented in lots of arts, and she lives in Toronto. And please enjoy, as Yusuke said, it's a her own version of Lost in Translation story. Please welcome Natalie Vachon.
Very much. I'm so honored to be here. Konnichiwa. Hello. Watashi no namae wa Natalie desu. My name is Natalie. I, since I was young, had always wanted to go to Japan. My father was an architect, and when I would look through architectural books, I would always stop on Japanese temples and gardens, like I had a longing to go. And my opportunity came when I was in my fourth year of university at Laurier. Now, little did I know that Laurier had a twin university in Kobe, Kansei Gakuin. And one day I was walking down the halls and I saw this incredible poster that said the Business and Economics Association were organizing a study tour to Japan. I had the heart of an artist and I really didn't know what I was doing in business. And I didn't care for business or economics, but I wanted to go to Japan. So I went immediately, I signed up, and I decided, well, the first thing that I need to do is take a Japanese class. So my first day in Japanese class, I'm sitting there with the most incredible teacher, Mariko-san from Tokyo. She's beautiful, she is hip, she's knowledgeable, and every word that comes out of her, I'm like a sponge. And she would come in the first day, or every day, and she would hold up an object, and she would say, "Sore wa nan desu ka? What is it?" And we would say, she'd hold up a key, and she'd say, "Sore wa nan desu ka?" We'd say, "Ah, sore wa kagi desu." And she'd hold up a newspaper, and she'd say, "Sore wa nan desu ka? Sore wa shimbun desu." And she'd point to a chair, "Sore wa nan desu ka? Sore wa isu desu." And then we would learn, and it would become engraved, these words, Japanese words. So, and she would teach us all kinds of things, structure for language, and I had complete faith in Mariko-san. And then once in a while, my faith would waver, and she would teach us things like, "Anata no arubaito wa nan desu ka? What is your part-time job?" And I thought, who goes around asking, "What is your part-time job?" I'm thinking, I'm never going to need to learn that. Sure enough, 20 Canadian students get to Kansei Gakuin and have our first cultural exchange discussion, which is really about the dating practices and differences between the Canadians and the Japanese. And my first question, the first question that is asked to me, "Oh, Natalie-san, anata no arubaito wa nan desu ka?" I'm like, whoa, I know this one. And I answer, and I don't even think I had a part-time job at the time, but I made something up, because I was so excited that I knew the question. So I ended up staying in Osaka. And as time went by in Osaka, I was getting used to a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of new things to learn at the beginning. How to get around, how to figure out the trains, how to order without taking your poor server outside and pointing at plastic food. And important things too, like, you know, the difference between the man and the woman sign. Because I went very many times, actually, in the wrong washroom. I mean, one time I went in there and I'm like, why is there a urinal in the woman's washroom? And why is there a Japanese man in the woman's washroom? Until I realized it was my mistake. And I learned important things as well as the difference between kawaii, cute, and kowaii, scary. Important thing to know when you're complimenting a Japanese woman on how cute her baby is. So after a while, I'm getting a lot of things figured out. figured out and I'm feeling pretty confident. Now, you know the thing that happens whenever you're feeling pretty confident? Yeah. So I decide one night to go out with a group of friends, fellow teachers, after work. Now, my roommates had told me, if you go out late, make sure you get to the train station by 11:35. That's last train. And they also told me, make sure you take the blue train or the green train, but never, never take the red train. So I'm out and I'm having fun and I look at my watch and I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta go. And I run to the station. I get to the station when there's like bells and whistles going off and people running and screaming and running for this train, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's my last train. And I run, and just as the doors are about to close, I sneak in. And I'm thinking, yeah, I made it. And then all of a sudden the train goes by the first station. I'm thinking, oh, that's okay, it's a blue train. It stops every two or three stations. It goes by the next station. Next station. My station. And doesn't stop for about 40 minutes. And not only that, it continuously starts to pick up speed. So I think all of a sudden I'm on the bullet train and I'm headed for Tokyo or somewhere close. And I start talking to people on the train and just trying to figure out what's going on. And I find out, yes, in fact, this is the last train. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And then finally the train stops. Everybody gets off. And I go looking for someone who works at the train station to get answers as to how I can get back home. And I find the station master. And I explain. And he says, oh, next train, 5:30. And he starts to present me options. Option one, takusi. I'm somewhere near Tokyo, so I'm thinking, ikura desu ka? Like, how much is that going to be? And it probably was somewhere around $200 or $300, and I'm thinking, I'd rather spend my $200 or $300 on something else. So he presents option number two. Oh, we call purisu. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think so, because, you know, normally you have to carry your alien registration card in Japan. And the day I forget to bring mine, yeah. So I'm like, oh, no, yeah, no purisu. And I'm looking over here and I'm thinking, that bench is looking pretty comfortable. So I think I'm going to make friends with that bench for about 5 hours. When the station master says, chotto matte ne, and he disappears. And I'm introducing myself to the bench, you know, we're getting friendly. And the station master comes back and he says, Natari-san, Natari-san, kite, kite. And he takes me back to where all the workers work, where their office space is. And he goes to his desk and he opens up the drawer and he says, shh, himitsu, secret. And he pulls out a beer. And he takes me to the back where there's a bunch of workers and they're making yakisoba, fried noodles. And they're offering me yakisoba and beer, and I'm like 20 years old and I'm like a little nervous. But they were so nice to me, and I think the station master realized that I was a little bit sort of, you know, unnerved about the whole thing. And he goes, Natari-san, Natari-san, kite. And he goes and there's a door next to the kitchen area. And he slides the door open. And he shows me a room with tatami mats and futons. He says, Natari, this where workers sleep. And then he shows me to a room next to it. And he opens the door. And there's the most marvelous sight I have seen since I've been to Japan. A bed. Not just a bed, but like with this fluffy white duvet, and it was a bunk bed. And I'm thinking, I've just died and gone to heaven. And I'm thinking, wow, I should take the wrong train all the time. And so he says to me, Natari-san, this where Natari sleep. And he wheeled a blackboard in front of the door, and he said, Natari, you will be safe. and they let me go to sleep. And at about 5:15 the next morning, I hear a knock on the door. Nanbari-san, densha, train. And I come out, and every worker is waiting there to greet me. And they all walk me downstairs, and they've got like buns and little notes and cards, and we all wait for the first train. And the first train comes, and I'm thanking them and saying goodbye, and I get on the train, wave goodbye, and they're all on the platform waving me away. And as I sat down in the train, I started to open up the little notes that I got. And I got one that said, "Dear Natari, you are my friend. Love, Yoji." And I'll never forget that kindness of this Gaijin-san that ended up on the wrong train. And the next morning, I ended up home, safe and sound. And my roommates were like, "Where were you last night?" And I was like a little bit embarrassed. I didn't really want to tell them. So I was trying to, you know, avoid the question a little bit. And the one girl says, "Did you meet a guy?" And I said, "Oh yes. His name was Yoji. He was very nice." Now, my embarrassing moments seemed to have all revolved around trains. Well, not all of them, actually. I had quite a few, but a lot of them. One time, one of my students had asked me to come to her house. And so she told me that in order to get to her house, I needed to go to this particular station. I think it was the Tennoji station. And then I needed to take the Chin-Chin Densha. Now, that's like a trolley car, and little did I know that you have to say it like Chin-Chin Densha, like the sound. So I'm there, I can't find the aforementioned Chin-Chin Densha. So I go up to a man that works at the train station, I say, "Sumasen, Chin-Chin Densha wa doko desu ka?" And he starts howling and walks away. And I'm like, I don't know what the heck just happened, but I find the Chin-Chin Densha. I get to my student's house, and I say, "Aiko-san, I was trying to find the Chin-Chin Densha, and I couldn't find it. I went up to a guy that worked in the station. I said, 'Sumasen, Chin-Chin Densha wa doko desu ka?' And he starts laughing and walks away." What was that all about? And Aiko-san looks at me and goes, "Oh, Natari-san, you ask for penis train." So after that, I rode my bike everywhere. Now, and as time went by, I did get better with my Japanese. And there's some interesting things that happened. As my Japanese got better, I found that my French mysteriously got better. So there was, I don't know, some part of my brain that was connected. And then because I was teaching English, my English was getting better because I had to learn sort of, you know, how things got put together and, you know, what's the difference between bored and boring after about five of my students would come in and go, "I'm boring." And, you know, helping them to, you know, we all have differences in languages. Like the ri sound is a combination of L, R, and D. So the Japanese have, you know, they mix up the L and the R sound. And the best example of this was on a flight, and the flight attendant came up and she said, "Thank you for boarding our aircraft. Please enjoy your fright." And so I loved being able to help, as I had been helped, with language. And one of my favorite stories, I taught four-year-olds. Now, talk about kawaii. They were so cute. And I got to do what Mariko-san did for me. They would come in, and the first thing I would do is I would say, hello, and they would go, hello. And I'd say, how are you? And they would say, I'm fine, thank you, and you? And then I would say, I'm fine, thank you. And then I'd say, my name is Natari, what's your name? And they would each take their turns. Eddie, who was very cute and shy, she'd go, my name is Eddie. And then they would kind of progress to the most boisterous boy and would go, my name is Nobuyuki. And I got to play the Soriwa Nandesuka game with them. So I'd bring in all these objects and I'd say, what is it? And they would say, it's a hamburger. What is it? It's an apple. And they got to learn the way I did. Now, one of my favorite things that they did was we would do the alphabet. And by the time they got to the end of the alphabet, Q-R-S-T-U-B-U-E. And I would go, Q-R-S-T-U-V. And then go, Q-R-S-T-U-B-U-E. So I tried to figure out, okay, what's the difference between V and B-U-E? And I'm, okay, V is the teeth on the bottom lip. We is the two lips together. So I devised a little game where the kids and I, cute for them, kawaii, scary a little bit for me, are flying around the room, holding the upper lip, and going, and then I would get them to come into the center and go, but I'd say vacuum. And they'd go vacuum. And I don't think I ever got them to say T-U-V. But to me it didn't matter. What mattered was that I had this great opportunity to connect to the heart of people and to the heart of Japan, and Japan embraced me so much. And it doesn't matter if you say li or boring or bored or vacuum or vacuum, if your heart is in the right place. And so I was so thankful for that experience to go to Japan. And I hope if anyone here would like to go to Japan, you get the opportunity, because it is just one of the most marvelous places, and the people are so warm. And if you do go to Japan, and you get to Osaka, and you're at Tsurahashi Station, remember, never take the red train. But if you do, by accident, please say hello to Yoji, and tell him that his friend, Natari, says hello. Thank you.
Thank you, Natari Bachon. And we would like to have a little information here, and refreshments are ready. And for 10 minutes of the COVID-19.